The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Monday, 17th day of September, 2012. Quick look at the numbers. Dow down 34, S&P down 3, comp down 8, gold is flat, crude oil up about 28 cents a barrel. And here's what the traders on Wall Street are talking about right now. Other than the fact that stocks are at four-year highs, Spain is back to becoming a source of stress as Europe waits for it to also ask for a bailout. We, as all traders, should expect light volumes due to Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. Big week coming up for housing data. China got whacked last night, and some Japanese-related companies got hit really hard. This would be evidence that protests are having an impact. There's $345 billion at stake in trade between China and Japan. And this is all over some uninhabited islands. Of course, we all know there's more Israel-Iran tension. There are three carrier groups headed to the Strait of Hormuz. Now, one U.S. carrier has more aircraft than the entire Iranian Air Force. But we're sending three. Now, the primary line of defense for the Iranians will be mines. We have mine sweepers. And so the U.S. and allied forces will not be without casualties if it comes to this. But once it's on, it will be over pretty quick, I think. Banks are struggling to process mortgages, which will blunt the impact of quantitative easing infinity. That's what we're calling it now, QEI. Former Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi back in the news after telling papers that Italian budget targets are impossible to achieve. Eurozone trade surplus widens as imports fall, and anti-America protests spread to Jakarta. You know, you can't turn on the TV or open up a news website without seeing somebody burn an American flag. But did you ever see them burn an American $100 bill? No. That's interesting. Do you find that interesting, Michael?
I do find that interesting.
They'll burn our flag. They sure don't burn our money.
Yeah, I know. That is funny. That would be something to see if they started burning our money.
Here's the deal. Mitt Romney is coming out of the closet. Amid swirling reports of mismanagement and ineptitude, top staffers for the Republican presidential nominees say they are switching up their strategy, and they're going to actually offer voters a detailed vision of what Romney would be like as president. Multiple news outlets reported this morning that the campaign plans to roll out a new strategy. Although accounts vary on what the changes will actually entail, the general consensus seems to be that Romney is abandoning his singular focus on President Barack Obama's economic record in favor of a more diversified and detailed campaign message. The shift comes after a week of bad polling numbers and even worse media coverage, which culminated in last night's Politico story detailing the general disarray of the Romney organization. There's only 50 days to the election. Now, the Romney campaign is conceding that it has to make some changes if the former Massachusetts governor is going to close Obama's widening lead in the race. Mitt, you got to step up here. So, you know about Facebook. What does Facebook know about you? Now, we recently reported on how Facebook tracks its users as they surf the web, even when they're not on Facebook, by using cookies and those little like buttons that you see everywhere. And tonight on the blog, I'm going to publish a detailed report of how you can prevent that if you would like to. Okay? Maybe you don't care. Maybe it's not important. But it's you can actually stop it, and I'll show you how to do it on the blog. Facebook stores a lot of information about you. Now, again, they're not just tracking you when you're on the Facebook site, but through the like buttons and the cookies, it doesn't matter. Once you've been to Facebook and you leave and go out across the internet, you leave a trail of breadcrumbs, and they follow you, and they're doing their very best to monetize that information with advertisers. It is surprisingly simple to find out what information Facebook is storing about you. For the past year, Facebook has made a basic archive available that allows users to download a complete history of their wall posts, photos, profile information, and private messages. More recently, they have offered an extended archive. Now, the extended archive goes into considerably more detail, including an accounting of the cookies Facebook has dropped on your device, login information, deleted friends, ad tags, clicks, and an address book. Unlike the standard archive, the extended archive does not have much of a history. For the most part, you're only given data that is about a month old, though Facebook likely has a full history of all the data in each of these categories. Now, most of the information should not be very shocking because, after all, you're the one that posted it and you're the one who chooses to share your life on Facebook. However, if you download this archive, there will be a few surprises. Facebook is willing to give you a full description of everything that is stored in the archives. They are willing to give you the archive, and they are willing to give you the information on how to block this from happening in the future, and I'll share that link with you tonight on the blog. Now, a word of warning, although you can stop this from happening in the future, there does not seem to be any way possible to remove the data once it has been stored in Facebook's database. So you can stop them from tracking you going forward, but if it's already in there, it's already in there. The iPhone. Big news, the first hard data about iPhone sales is out now. Listen to this, guys. Over 2 million devices were sold by Apple in the first 24 hours. Now, this device is where they make most of their money. How many is 2 million? Well, when they launched the iPhone 4S, they posted record-breaking numbers. The numbers I just gave you, over 2 million in 24 hours, that's double what the iPhone 4S did. Apple today announced pre-orders of its iPhone topped 2 million in just 24 hours, more than double the previous record of 1 million held by iPhone 4S. Demand for iPhone 5 exceeds the initial supply, and while the majority of pre-orders will be delivered to customers on September 21st, many are scheduled to be delivered in October. iPhone 5 is the thinnest and lightest iPhone ever, completely redesigned to feature a stunning new 4-inch Retina display, an Apple-designed A6 chip for blazing fast performance, and ultra-fast wireless technology, all while delivering even better battery life. It comes with iOS 6, the world's most advanced mobile operating system, which has over 200 new features, an all-new Maps app with Apple-designed cartography, turn-by-turn navigation, and an amazing new flyover view. There's Facebook integration for contacts and calendar, once again, Facebook tracking you, with the ability to post directly from Notification Center, Passbook, the simplest way to get all your passes in one place, new Siri features, including support for more languages, easy access to sports scores, restaurant recommendations, and movie listening. Siri and Facebook enabled apps like Photos, Safari, and Maps, and shared photo streams via the iCloud. 2 million in 24 hours. That's a lot. If you've ever ran a lemonade stand, you know that's a lot. One final thing in the news today, and I find this very interesting. It's the I did not know that portion of our news. Did you know that Walmart can't get no respect in New York City?
I did not know that.
I did not know that. Walmart really wants to break into New York City, but its latest attempts have once again fallen apart. The world's largest retailer says that it failed to agree on economic terms for opening its first store in the city, which was supposed to be at a development in Brooklyn's East New York neighborhood. Walmart has some serious opposition in New York City, mostly from unions and politicians. They say Walmart will devastate local businesses. Well, that's the argument no matter where Walmart goes. However, competitors Target and Costco already have a few locations around the city. Now, Walmart today announced they were unable to agree upon economic terms for a project in East New York. We remain committed to bringing new economic development and shopping options to New York City, especially in the neighborhoods that need them most. Two things remain constant. Most New Yorkers want us here, and we remain interested in providing more convenient access to Walmart for local residents. Now, here's the thing, guys. You may or may not know this, but in some of the incredibly dense urban areas like New York City, people who don't own a car, which is a large percentage of the people who are forced to take public transportation and or a cab, which is expensive in New York City, they're not within walking distance of a grocery store. That's why many of them end up eating diets that, well, we talked last week about how they're banning the big sodas. Okay? You may not have known this. If you live in New York City, most of us who live in suburbia or rural America or just a normal city like Phoenix, not a major metropolis, any direction you throw a rock, almost from where I live, you can hit a grocery store. You can hit a kind of a natural sort of a place, fresh and easy, or you can go with the big guy Safeway or Fry's. I mean, they're everywhere. But in these dense urban areas, not the case. So imagine a single mom with a couple kids trying to get on a bus, and you know, you got to take two transfers to finally get to a grocery store where you can actually buy nutritious food, not a bodega, but, you know, nutritious food at a reasonable price, and then struggle with an armload of groceries and the unruly kids across two buses and a train, maybe, to get back home. So I understand that Walmart puts a crimp in local businesses, but I also understand the side of the argument that everyone should have adequate access to good nutrition in America at fair prices, I think. So, the mayor's office says they want it, but they just can't seem to get it together. But Walmart says they will continue trying, and they hope to eventually open across all five boroughs. The mayor's office, Borough President Markowitz and Reverend Youngblood, and countless others in and outside of East New York who helped us strengthen local relationships and build bridges with the community, in addition to providing good jobs and affordable groceries, residents want a retailer in Brooklyn that would hire and buy local and look to make a positive economic impact by hosting job fairs, workforce development initiatives, and supplier summits. Walmart will continue to evaluate their opportunities in New York City. So they're not going to turn their back on it. And we've all heard that, you know, that Walmart won't give you, you know, a full 40 hours and they won't cover your health insurance. As far as I know, that's still the case. But I do know that wherever they go, they do create some jobs. So we'll see how that plays out. Now, up on the big screen in front of you are the soybeans. We're still trading November beans, ZSX2. And for those of you that follow the beans, we had a tweet last night that went out that said to consider being short below 1703 on the beans. You may have seen it at soybeandaytrader.com, and or you may have received it on your Twitter feed. Beans are limit down this morning. Bert just sent me a message. Okay, from 1703 down to Let me see what our low is here. 1669. So we'll call it 1670. So I guess a total of about a 33-cent drop. So now beans pay $50 per penny, just like the ES pays $50 per point. Beans pay $50 per penny. Nicole, the best way to get the tweets is to install the CFRN toolbar. And the way to install the toolbar is simply to go to any page of CFRN. And on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see this little button, Install Our Toolbar. Click that, and it's going to give you a toolbar like this, which allows you to listen to the radio 24/7 as you surf the web. We do stream 24/7. Great Christian programming that we program ourselves right here in the studios of CFRN. You'll be able to follow the blog. You'll be able to do all your Facebooking, your tweeting. You'll stay on top of our latest tweets. You'll be able to tweet about anything you find on CFRN. You'll be able to check your Gmail, access your Amazon wish list, and you can read our daily newspaper, follow us on Google+, follow us on Seeking Alpha. One of my favorites, you can listen to the Daily Audio Bible and a Daily Economic Calendar. The Audio Bible, guys, if you've ever told yourself, I'm going to read the Bible in a year, I'm going to get on one of those programs, you know what happens. You get behind, you get busy, things happen. This guy, Brian, is the greatest, okay? And you just go here, you click it, it starts playing, and then you go back to surfing around the web doing your thing, okay? It puts everything important, everything you need, right at your fingertips. Daily economic reports, here they are. Boom. Now, this gives you stuff you won't find other places. Like in Great Britain last night, did you know there was a Right Move House Price Index report? You probably didn't. We did. Okay. Now, some of this stuff, you look for the three bulls and you know that it's a high impact type of a report. Today in the U.S., we had nothing high impact. There is a high impact tonight in Australia, monetary policy. Times listed are always Eastern time. Germany, we've got a big report tomorrow. The Bank of England has an inflation letter tomorrow. Looking for the next big report in the U.S. Looks like existing home sales will be on Wednesday, the first high impact report here in the U.S. Bank of Japan has a press conference early Wednesday morning while most of us are still sleeping. But again, all of this information is available at your fingertips. Facebook, Twitter, all of our blog posts, everything else. Beyond that, you can go to twitter.com/CFRN and just click follow. Oh, and while I'm here, let me show you one last thing. When you drop this down and you go to our newspaper, now there's some changes coming in the newspaper. There's really great information already, but I'm busy in the background making it even better. Okay. Tons of information. We cover everything from the markets to technology, education, politics, a lot of great stuff. Now, if you come here and click the subscribe button, okay, what will happen? You put in your email address. You'll be emailed a copy of the newspaper twice a day. We used to only do one edition. We now are doing two editions, a morning and an afternoon edition. All of the content is personally curated by me. In other words, I don't think you'll find a lot of junky, uninteresting stuff in there. Just about everything in there. Well, at least I found it interesting. That's why it's in the newspaper. It is free. We encourage you to participate, join, subscribe, leave your comments. There's a discussion corner. If by chance you're only hearing my voice and not seeing any of the stuff I'm showing the rest of the audience today, on the homepage of CFRN.net, on the right-hand side of the page, there is a red, white, and blue button under the radio tower that says, click here now. If you do that, follow the instructions, you'll be able to see my screen, Michael's screen, anybody that shows their screen during today's radio broadcast. You'll also be able to participate in the discussion. You'll be able to ask questions. And I think that's very valuable. Okay? So, you only have to do the registration process once a week. That's the really good thing. Do it on a Sunday night. Do it on a Monday morning. And then each day for the rest of the week, you'll get an email that says, hey, the radio starts at noon. When you're ready to join, just click here. And you're in like that. So you only have to register once per week. Now, I've gone way over my allotted time, so I better pass these charts off to my esteemed colleague, Mr. Michael B. Mike, do you have any idea how long I've been in this trade?
Let me tell you. You've been in this trade. It was, let me blow it up here a little bit so we can look at it. It was the first touch. It was right around 10:30. Yep, right around there, 10:30 Eastern time. So you've been in this trade for 2 hours.
And we only risk how many points on one of these trades?
2 points.
So what does that tell us about our range today?
Yes. Well, in the last 2 hours, the range has been... Well, we have a two-point... If you had a two-point bracket on it, it would show a four-point range. And that's pretty much what it's been all day. Four and a quarter, I think, is what it's been. So that
Now,
is...
for what it's worth, guys, from the initial entry, it did come down and give 2 points exactly. But I was looking for a little more than that, so we'll see what happens as the show progresses. But, Michael, let me just pass it all over to you, please.
All right.
If you're new, thanks for stopping by. We'll be here again tomorrow, God willing. Come back.
God willing.
I used to have a guy that worked for me.
Looking.
I used to have a guy that worked for me, and he had some habits that were, well... He was struggling with them. And whenever I would say, when it would be time to go home, and I'd say, hey, man, see you in the morning. If he said, God willing, that was like the death knell. Because either he had just gotten a big bonus or a big paycheck. And that was just like him saying, I got a pocket full of money, man. You're not going to see me for days. If he said, okay, I'll see you in the morning, Dwayne, then I knew everything was fine. But if I said, hey, see you in the morning, Larry, he would go, God willing. Oh, man. When will we see him again? But anyway, we can see your charts. Take it away. No. No, really. Take it away.
Oh, yes. Well, I will take it away. I really will. And I'll actually talk to you, too, instead of just talking to myself here with my mic off. All right, let's start the recording here, and then we'll go through this all.
Hey, do you want to tell them what a great blog post there was over the weekend?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's do it right after I do this stuff.
All right, I'm just kidding.
All right, today is Monday, September 17th, 2012. This is Michael from CFRN, and if you have not... taking a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply and take the free trial. If you have taken the free trial with us, well then, you need to get on board if you're not already. Yeah. Sound effects. Studio audience. All right. Now, let me get on to something very important here, very quickly. Let me jump over here and do this. Hang on. Here we go. Look at this awesome blog post. How to trade e-mini price channels. Everyone should go to cfrn.net, e-mini news blog. All right, that's what I have here. I just click right on the CFRN logo right over here on my toolbar, my CFRN toolbar that Dwayne just described to everyone, and it brings me right to the blog. How to trade ascending and descending and even flat channels. You see, if you scroll down, there's a great description of all the different types of channels, even pictures. Look at that. Look at that. I can click there to share if I want to. See that? I can click there to share. Amazing. Go check it out. CFRN.net/eMiniNewsBlog. All right? All right. Let's see. For the results this morning, we only took a few trades. We took an NQ trade. We got a break even on. We took a gold trade. We got plus one tick. And we took a crude trade. We are down seven ticks on the crude trade. That was all that I did this morning. Dwayne took a trade, and I'll show you where. You see, he was trading a channel this morning, just like he put in his blog post. You see that? He put his money where his mouth was, or where his typing was. He had shorted a pullback. This was the channel line that he was looking at this morning, and he shorted a pullback right over here to the channel line. Okay? That's where he took a short this morning, and he's been in it since then. You can see how it's just tightened right up in here. It did hit his 2-point profit target had he just been going for 2 points, but I think he was looking a little further down than two. I was saying I wasn't going to take a trade on the ES unless it dropped down below this level right here, and it still hasn't dropped down below that level, so I still haven't taken a trade on the ES, and that's pretty much where it stands for me. But as far as the trading the channel stuff goes, Dwayne sold the top of the channel right over here. It drew down probably 3 or 4 ticks on him, and it went positive 8 ticks, went back to break even, positive 8 ticks again, and now it's plus a point or so right now, I believe. It's plus 4 ticks sitting on that. At some point, he's going to have to take that trade off. Remember, if you hold between 415 and 430 or 435, you have overnight margins. All right. Let me slide this over here. That wasn't so much for Dwayne, that was for everyone. On the NQ, let me go over this quickly. Right here on the NQ, you see, this was the one trade that I took. We had a bearish cross, pull back up, tested the BBC with a down close. I entered short right here. It got down to the MA1 right here, which is the window of opportunity. And I moved my stop to break even, and I got out at break even on that trade. All right. It was having trouble doing anything in here. That's why I figured the window of opportunity was going to hold on that. Oh, look, I actually took 2 NQ trades. Sorry, I thought I only took 1, but I took 2 apparently. But I got a break even on both of them. I know I didn't make any green on it. This one was the same thing. It went up to the window of opportunity. I moved my stop to break even. It took me out of break even, and then it moved up. But just for the record, the trade setup is actually when you get a bullish or bearish cross of the BBC, which is the green line. Price moves down, and then it moves back up, looking for some area of resistance in this case because it was a cross below. Looking for an area of resistance, it found that resistance, and then it closed back in the direction of the cross. When that happens, down here between the green line and the cycle portion, you want to have divergence. What that divergence is showing you is that there's a difference in the short-term movement and the longer-term direction. So the short-term movement is likely to stop at... Once it finds resistance, it's likely to stop and turn back in the longer-term direction. That's exactly what happened right there. That's what happened here, too, but I stopped out at break-even. Over here, it happened as well, but it would have gone through my stop had I not gotten out of break-even on this one. It would have gone through my stop before it moved in this direction. You can see a couple other instances here that I had highlighted where it gave a cross, tested the BBC with an up close. But the markets were just so flat in here. I wasn't going to take any long trades on the NQ when the ES and the YM were going right into weekly trading zones. You can see they still are. So I didn't do anything there. I didn't do anything on the YM this morning. I really didn't even look at it other than to say that it's got the same trend line the ES does. Gold. I took a trade on gold this morning, but there were more opportunities. There were some nice opportunities on gold. I don't know which one I took. I think I took this one right over here. It was pretty early on. I took a long trade, and I ended up getting one tick on it. After it had closed up above the MA1, I had moved my stop up to plus a tick, and it went up and it stopped me out at plus a tick. All right, you can see it continued up after that, but we had the bullish cross, tested the BBC over here, This was pre-market, then it tested it again right here with a bullish divergence, and I got long. Then we had a bearish cross with a test right here, and a little tiny bit of bearish divergence down, oops, down here, right there. Okay, it had more divergence over here, but it never pulled back. It did pull back here, but the cycle was going up, so we didn't take that. We missed this opportunity in here where everything looked really good. This would be, if we were going to grade the trades, like with an A, B, or C, this would be an A-grade trade because everything stayed blue on the pullback and on the up close. You know, the cycle portion was still blue. The MA1 was still blue. Everything was blue on the whole thing. Unfortunately, we missed that trade. There was another opportunity right here, the same thing. Another one right here that didn't go anywhere. After that didn't go anywhere, I drew a trend line down this because that's what we currently had. And I was thinking that it was going to move down unless it closed on the other side of it. I was thinking it was just going to follow this trend line down. Obviously, it closed on the other side of it, and it gave about 6 or 8 ticks, and then it moved down. There were some more opportunities in here that I had missed this morning. But you can see right over here, it flattened right out. And that's it. That's all we had on the gold. We only had that one trade that we took on the gold. All right. Now, on the crude oil, crude's been up and down quite a bit. With this stuff that Dwayne had mentioned earlier about the Straits of Hormuz, we're going to see some prices above $100 a barrel here, I would think, probably relatively soon. I would think pretty easily we're going to see stuff above $100 a barrel. As much as I hate to see that, especially living in New England and going into the winter months. We'll probably have $5 heating oil this winter. Anyway, here's a bearish cross with pullback up test to the BBC. And over here you can see we had the bearish divergence right there. All right, for an opportunity to get short. This was a trade that I did take right here. I got a break even on. Had a pullback test to the BBC with a down close. And this is the crude oil on a 4-tick range. All right, you can see it flattened out as well in there. I didn't take any more trades in there. This is the one that I took over here that I lost on. But this one right here had bullish divergence right here. I missed this trade. It had bullish cross, bullish divergence, tested the BBC with an up close. All right. Now, what you guys should be taking away from this is that we're doing the same exact thing on all the 4-tick range charts. We use the same indicators, the same everything, doing the same setup, same everything across all the charts, and having similar results, really. You have to actually place the trades. When I'm doing 5 markets at once and answering questions from a bunch of people, I miss a bunch of trades. But if you were to focus on any one of these markets, just really focus on it, then you should be doing well. You should be taking most of these trades. But you can see you had the bullish cross, a test of the BBC with the up close, and we had bullish divergence, a follow-up one right here. And, this is crude oil. It's $10 a tick. So from 99.28 right here up to 99.39, that's $110 right there in that little move. And, $110 a contract. So if you have 10 contracts on, you get $1,100 right there. And it happens over and over and over again. All right. People often ask what my risk is on these things. My risk is always the same across all these charts. Okay. It's 8 ticks. 8 ticks across all the charts. And that's pretty much it, guys. We had a really flat day today. Not a lot of trading, unfortunately, but, it is what it is. And with that, I am going to stop the recording. If anybody has any questions, you can email us, support@cfrn.net, and we'll get back to you as quickly as possible. All right. If you have any problems with your platform or if you want to download the platform, if you're taking the free trial, call 1-866-928-3310. That's 866-928-3310. And if they can't help you out, then get a hold of us, and we will certainly help you out. All right. That's it. Recording over.
All right, Michael, thank you very much. thing I want to say really quick before we go to David, who's patiently waiting. Thank you, David. Part of our news, and I may not have... Did I not capture that? No, I did. Most of you, well, let me just share the news with you. Square, when I say Square, I think you know that I'm talking about the payment processing mechanism. The article I wrote, Hip to be Square, for The Motley Fool, it was nationally syndicated. It ended up on Yahoo Finance, all over the internet. I got an editor's pick. I'm not bragging. I'm just pointing out that we have a history with this technology. And today, some news came out. Square is now valued at $3.25 billion, and they've not even gone public. In the convoluted mobile payment space, there's perhaps no other company with more momentum than Square. During its latest round of funding, the three-year-old platform, led by Twitter co-founder Jack Dorsey, raised over $200 million and is now valued at $3.25 billion, according to the Wall Street Journal. Those strong figures follow a blockbuster deal with Starbucks announced last month, which will see the coffee giant accept payments through Square nationwide. Starbucks also kicked in a $25 million investment as part of the agreement, and as such is listed among Square's major backers for this funding round. In a press release announcing the news, Square highlighted its rapid growth over the past year. The company has grown from 150 employees to more than 400 and now processes $8 billion annually in payments. Compare that to 1 year ago, the same figure was $1 billion. From $1 billion to $8 billion in 1 year. A major reason behind that success has been expanded availability of the company's signature reader, and AT&T became Square's most recent retail partner in late August. Guys, huge. This is huge. And it's huge not just for Square and just for Starbucks, but for you as an entrepreneur. Okay? In the if you Google Hip to be Square, you'll find the article that I wrote. I go into great detail about some of the difficulties that an entrepreneur can have setting up a merchant's account. Square just makes it all go away. So please, go read the article if you haven't read it. And then share your comments. I'd love to hear what you have to think about this. And with that, I'll encourage you to take advantage of our free trial, cfrn.net/apply. And now we'll pause for a short station identification. We'll be right back with Mr. David Williams from PageTrader.com. Don't touch that radio dial.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
Well, we're inching away from summer, thankfully, at least out here in Las Vegas. I'm sure in your area as well. And, Michael, I don't know what your temperatures are out there, but
Yeah, they've been nice lately, but you know, I don't want to get too far away from summer because
winter. It becomes winter, yeah. It gets cold out here as well, but we've got nice weather now, and it's really just a beautiful time of year. I've said this before about Las Vegas. I like three of the four seasons. I just don't particularly like summer out here because it does get so hot. It really cooks. It really just, like in Arizona, it just destroys things. It's that kind of heat. So not particularly fond of it. Got to have good air conditioning if you're going to live in Arizona or in Las Vegas. No two ways about it. And then just down the road in California, there's all kinds of real estate out there that they sell without any air conditioning at all. Homes don't have air conditioners because it's so temperate that you just don't need an air conditioner. It's hard to believe. But just 280 miles or whatever California is from here, 300 miles from us, completely different environment, completely different weather. You know, we're in a desert and not such a pretty one either. That's why I've said before, Arizona is a much prettier landscape, desert landscape. They've just done a better job in Arizona making a real city out of it. Las Vegas is essentially the strip plus now three main areas out here that have grown substantially into huge housing developments, you know, Summerlin, the Las Vegas main area, and Henderson, Nevada. Henderson, Nevada, when I first moved to Las Vegas, Henderson, Nevada was the ugliest place on earth. There was no uglier place than Henderson, Nevada. It was just plain ugly. Just ugly. I don't have any other word for it. Everybody knew it as ugly. If you lived in Henderson, it was like, oh, it was bad. And then one day, dirt roads, you know, just a mess. And then one day, out of the blue, somehow some big powers and big force at work decided that Henderson, Nevada was going to be the nicest place in Las Vegas, and or one of the nicest places. And in a very, very short period of time, it was a number of years, but in a very short period of time, it turned around, and Henderson, Nevada is beautiful now. It's also been renamed Green Valley, and it is beautiful. It's green. They've got lots of nice it looks a whole lot better than it used to. So we've had a lot of development. I've been here since 1979. Dwayne, how long have you been in Arizona, Dwayne?
Oh, goodness, David. I have been here since, I think, 1980.
Okay, so we're very close. Again, that strange connection, 79 and 80. I moved out here in August of 79 from the San Fernando Valley in California. And where did you move from, Dwayne?
San Diego.
San Diego. Anyway, so I've seen this town grow enormously. I remember so many dirt roads here. And I do want to mention the other day we had a big flash flood type of rain that came in. And did I mention on the radio that, again, the Charleston underpass was filled up with water? I could not believe it. Somehow, I mean, they still haven't quite fixed it. The water comes into this town, and it just deluges, you know, somewhere, and they just can't manage the water. And so I couldn't see because they had traffic being turned away from it, but I know they were turning traffic away from it because of the water. So Las Vegas has had a long history of, as long as I've been here, 30-plus years, of trouble with the water. And they're finally probably at this point, they've managed quite a bit of it with the underground tunnels and all the other stuff. But still, isn't it funny, with all that work, we still do have quite a bit of problems with water when it rains here. And that just seems to never end. The town just wasn't designed to manage and handle water. It's best to design, if you're going to design a town, try to design it from the ground up to handle rain, even if you're in the desert. That's the lesson that was learned in Las Vegas. And there you are. Doesn't have anything to do with our radio program, but I thought I'd give out some interesting information.
No, but it sounded very good.
It did. Well, thanks. You guys handle water well out there, right? It rains and you don't have the kind of flooding and, you know, water running into buildings, and or do you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
When you do have that.
Oh, yeah. When we have the monsoons, it floods, and especially in some of the areas like Queen Creek, they seem to be more prone to it than mm-hmm. the central corridor area. But, yeah.
That's right. I forgot about the monsoons, and I do want to tell people that there's places in Arizona up in Pine and some other areas where these monsoons, and the areas, I suppose, that Dwayne lives in as well, where these monsoons come, and they're just stunningly beautiful. The higher up you go, it seems like the prettier they are. That it could be a sunny day, you're just living your life, walking around, and 10 minutes later, dark, storming clouds are right on top of you, and it's just pouring rain. Just a complete, you know, downpour. lightning, thunder, everything just comes right out of the blue. And they last sometimes. I've been up there and I've seen a monsoon last for 2 days. It just rains straight through 2 days. And then in most cases, it only lasts, what, Dwayne, for 30 minutes or 20 minutes or an hour
usually,
or something.
Yeah, usually, in fact, the warning will be for a flash flood. And it really, I mean, we'll get, you know, we might, our average rainfall might be 3 inches. And, and sometimes we'll get an inch and a half of that in 30 minutes.
Yeah. No, it really comes down. I remember sitting on the wooden deck up in Pine, Arizona, and at Jody's house, and the rain was coming down, and there was a wind that came with it. And again, it was just 15 minutes ago. It was a beautiful sunny day. And the rain was, the wind was blowing the rain so hard that it was as, it was just as if it was raining sideways, so that you're sitting on this deck that has a cover over it, and the rain is coming at you sideways, not down. And just an enormous, amazing downflow of rain. So it's very pretty to see. It's very refreshing to see. It's I don't know if it gets old, Dwayne, out there, if you get them in your area, but I do like that about Arizona. Would, you know, would like to see more of that out here in Las Vegas.
I'm sorry, you said, does it get old? Is that what you said?
Yeah, does it get old, the monsoons, or are you in an area where you actually get them?
Oh, yeah, well, we get them. The last couple of years have been pretty mild compared to years past.
Okay.
You know, you're always happy to see the rain in the desert, but it just comes so violently, and it can often leave so much damage in its path that, you know, that kind of detracts from the beauty when you have to go into cleanup mode as soon as it's over, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. It's all part of it. Well, anyway, so, and then, you know, it's funny, it's interesting on the news, we're seeing a great deal of unrest now again in the Middle East. This is an area that you know, what can you say about that area? And people wanting to fight, and people wanting to, you know, the whole business that we're seeing on TV with the embassy and all this other stuff. It just never ends over there. You know, whoever you want to blame, and however, you know, there's all kinds of blame to be apportioned if you want to think of it in those terms. But just the mere fact that this is a part of the world that is, you know, functionally insane. These people just cannot get along. They just cannot allow others to believe what they want to believe. And, you know, thankfully, none of us live anywhere near there.
Well, there's three carrier groups on the way there if they're not already there. One of those carriers has more air power than the entire Iranian Air Force. And so I realize that it's the very reason that's being done is to, as a show of force. But if they decide, if this thing gets kicked off, God forbid that we get caught up in some other thing that drags out for years on end. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
with the Iraq thing, then the Afghanistan thing. I mean, with those three carriers sitting there, and then carriers don't go by themselves. They go with a battle group. There's destroyers, and there's frigates, and there's, you know, all the support that goes along with that. this thing could literally be over in 5 minutes if it's handled in that manner. Not that we should strike first, not that I'm not encouraging that at all. I'm just saying that if push comes to shove, then we just need to make it be over with and not drag it out and not, you know, risk untold numbers of American lives, British lives, whoever goes there to defend, you know, freedom and all of that. Just if it's got to be, then just it's kind of like pulling off a Band-Aid. You can do it slowly and painfully for 10 years, or you can just rip it off and get on with your day. And so we have the military power to do that. And if this guy pushes the envelope and we have to do it, we have to do it. So I don't want to see war. I'd rather see everybody come out and shake hands and return to their corners. But we know, based on history and based on how it is written, for those who believe the good book, and I do, this does not end well. You know, in fact, it doesn't end until the end. So, but at least we could shut it down for a while. You know, we could stop the saber rattling for a decade or two while they rebuild, and we don't have to be the ones to go back in and rebuild them, as we are known to do. That's what America does. We kick their butt and then go help them rebuild. But
it's a strange business we're in.
That's kind of why we're so well. I guess I shouldn't say we're so well respected around the world, because everywhere you look now, you turn on the TV, there's some new place you can't pronounce, never heard of, where they're burning an American flag. And as I said at the beginning of the show, you never see them burning one of our $100 bills. And Bruce piped in, yeah, you don't see them burning our blue jeans either. But boy, they sure love to burn the flag, yeah. Okay.
Well, we could get into all that, but let's just get into the markets, shall we?
I'm ready.
All right. We can start with the S&P. We can take a look at the bigger picture, which remains very bullish. We've talked for the last month or so about the S&P being in a very bullish position on every possible way of looking at it, not just the short term, but the medium and the long term. And basis the September contract, we had the 1475 was our forecast starting when back, you know, in late August and very early September, that the market would run up to this 1475, which they've done. And we've now rolled into the December contract. So today's high, or yesterday's high, Friday's high, was 1468. It's likely that that number will be reached, 75 and higher, on all the contracts, or on both these contracts, the September that just went out and the new incoming December contract. So everybody should be in the December contract by now and trading in it. I'm sure all the volume is there rather than...
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay, so it's all been switched over. So with regard to today's individual movement, this has been one of the narrowest range sessions we've seen in quite some time. Approximately 5, maybe 6 points worth of range so far. Excuse me. And we're just going to have to wait for a little bit more active movement. This isn't really unusual behavior given the recent move up, the big fast advance, you know, having a pullback like this, having a very slow, quiet session is not unusual. If I had a preference, I'd like to see a little bit lower prices get put into play here. Now, again, we're in the December contract, but, you know, we've hit 55, which is initial support for our Messenger Pro product. The next level down is 52/51. If they get down to that level, I know it's very narrow, but that's its own separate level. That might be more interesting for us as an actionable level to do something with. As it is right now, it's so quiet that I'm actually about to fall asleep.
Well, try to stay awake.
Please awaken me.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow. All right. I'm back.
Stay awake through the show.
Through the show would be good, yeah.
That's much appreciated.
No problem. I've got some medicine here I can take. Anyway, so yeah, very, very quiet. I hope to see a little bit lower. And I don't have much more than that to add. We had originally forecast that there should be a reaction off of, again, going back to the September contract, the 75 level. This is the reaction underway. We'll see how this plays out. But the larger trend remains up as far as we're concerned, and our outlook, and we do believe that higher prices are likely after the reaction off of the 75, and for all intents and purposes for the December contract, the 68 level, there's going to be higher prices, and including 1515. So we think more higher prices are coming, and although these are not roadmaps and these are not, you know, specific forecasts to do this or do that, but these are what we believed the market was going to do, because the market had shown by its own behavior that something much, much larger continued to be at work, and the way that they were acting indicated a big 75-point move up to 1475 and so on. So it's not over yet. We believe that higher prices are still going to come after the reaction off of this level completes. And hopefully there'll be something we can do with this before those higher prices, you know, the movement gets underway. So just keep that in mind. We've been bullish all year long for the S&P, except with the exception of the March top, reflected wave monthly March top, which we did expect, and anybody with reflected wave would expect the decline that we got. And then they bottomed and have been moving up ever since then. So a lot of people's methods and a lot of people's systems, I remember us talking about, you know, don't go short, you know, at the 1400 level, you know, even if your system's overbought. Many systems were overbought, but because something much bigger than your particular measuring stick was going to affect the market. And so you want to remember that whatever, if you're stuck on a particular time frame, that's not necessarily going to work well over time on a particular time frame, because people get hooked on single time frames. And there's nothing wrong with a single time frame for actually enabling your trading and getting it started, but to know what the bigger picture is can be very helpful. And I don't think there's many ways to have known about the advance to 1475 without really looking at the bigger picture and seeing the larger force underway. So keep that in mind. I think it's very helpful to specialize in a single time frame, but I think it's also very helpful to know and read into all the different pictures. I mean, why not look at the big picture, the small picture, the medium picture? Why not look at all of it and see if you can glean something from it? So, yeah, the S&P, very quiet. We're staying flat right here. We'll wait until a little later today. There probably is, you know, a move for today. There probably will be something. But I'd like to see the market, you know, move a little bit more than it has for us to take some advantage of it. So we'll wait and see. Maybe during the time that we're talking here, they'll do a little bit.
Today is the one-year anniversary of the beginning of Occupy Wall Street.
That's right. The Occupy Wall Street people are going to go out and damage some more property. So
they've been at it pretty steady now for a year.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever did they ever stop, or has it been an ongoing?
Well,
thing?
I think they did stop for a while, but I think this is another. You know, I would like to believe that everybody has a legitimate viewpoint. Like as an example, I have my own viewpoint, and somebody else might have their viewpoint, and I still want to hear their viewpoint. I want to understand or try to understand where they're coming from. Even if I believe, and I think most people are like this, even if I believe resolutely in what I'm saying or feeling about a subject, I'd like to know what someone else thinks if they feel very strongly about it. And so the Occupy Wall Street people, I believe there must be something, even though when you listen to the reporters talk to them, and sometimes you get some very strange messages about, you know, why they're there and what they're doing. You almost get the idea that they just want to be out there, you know, screaming and yelling, and they're not even sure why. But there are a number of them, obviously, that do have some strong opinion and something that's driving them to be out there. And I'd really like to understand better what it is that's driving them, what it is that they really want. I've not really gotten a clear picture. I do know what the Tea Party wants. They're essentially, they want smaller government, they want reduced taxes, they want more responsible government, and so on. I'm not sure I can say that I know that the same way that I know about the Tea Party. I can't say that I know that about Occupy Wall Street. It's been on for a year. And I do have to say, if any person is amongst that group, I would respect the group a whole lot more if they didn't show the obnoxious entitlement that the far left has shown in so many cases by not destroying other people's property because they don't think like you do. They don't believe like you do. Why do you have to destroy other people's property and do that as a function of your expression? How come you can't go out and express what it is you want to express without hurting some person's property? You know, the last time they had their outing, I forgot what the number was, but it was in the tens of millions of dollars that Occupy Wall Street had gone out and damaged property, and they feel that that's their right to do that. I would like to point out that the Tea Party did nothing of the kind. They brought their own porta potties. They left the place just as nice or better when they left. They made their statement, whether you believe in them or not. I'm just talking about just decent behavior. We have the right to protest, but you don't have the right to damage other people's property. And it makes me suspect, it really does, about your whole motives and what it is that you're really doing and how you manage your whole life situation, that you think that destroying somebody else's business, breaking their windows, destroying property, defacing property, somehow adds to the validity of your argument when it makes you look like an idiot. That's all it really does. It doesn't make me think, wow, you must have a really good point that you're making. It makes me think you need to go back to junior high school or to a psychiatrist and work this stuff out. So I hope that they don't destroy a bunch of stuff again, and I'd like to understand more what their point really is and what they'd like to see happen. You know, in Chicago, which is a very this is another good example of the entitlement mentality. You know, it's very typical for people to say things like the Republicans don't want teachers, you know, we're not behind education and that sort of thing. Conservatives aren't. And there's nothing could be further than the truth, from the truth. But the fact is that Chicago is a very democratic city, and it has a teacher's strike going on right now. The teachers make approximately $75,000 a year. That's practically double what the average person in Chicago makes at a job. So they're getting all the stuff that the left would say they want the teachers to get. They're getting good salaries, et cetera. Yet their schools have some of the lowest rates of graduation, the lowest rates of, you know, just performance in any way that you might want to measure it. The teachers are rallying and striking for more money. They want 30% increase in their salary. They have a $75,000 a year salary. And they don't want people to bother them with evaluations anymore. They don't want to be evaluated on the job. This is the left. This is the entitlement that they feel. How would you like to go to a job where you don't have to be evaluated anymore? You just get your paycheck and you know you're doing a good job, and that's all that's really necessary. That's the entitlement society. That's that whole bit that I've talked about before, that they're already doing. They got their way in Chicago. All the left has it's on, the program is theirs. You can't blame anybody. There it is. Your schools suck, your teachers are making double the amount of money, and your performance is poor, and that isn't enough money, you need more money, and you don't want to be evaluated on top of that. There you are. That's your system, the left. It's not the right, because Chicago is all left all the time. It's like a radio station that plays all the hits. So there you are. How are you doing? You got your way. Doesn't look too good to me. Anyway, so yeah, Occupy Wall Street, they're back, and after a year's worth of absence, maybe, or not a year's worth of absence, but their one-year anniversary, I just hope that they leave people's property alone and make their point, whatever that is. I think I get some of their point, but I'd like to hear a little clearer picture. I've yet to hear somebody really explain a very clear, concise sort of manifesto of what it is that they're all about. You know, they're anti-corporate, I get that, and all that stuff. So, okay, so let's move on, Dwayne, unless you have anything you want to add to that.
Nope, not much to say. I mean, they're still at it. I mean, they could, yeah. in the year that they've spent protesting and, you know, walking around signs and going to the bathroom in the street, I mean, they could have potentially done something positive with their life. In fact, if they're totally anti-capitalism, then they could have gone to Africa or India and just volunteered at an orphanage or something. That's just one example.
Mm-hmm. Strange, I mean, that they don't do that, though, isn't it?
They could have done something positive with the last year, something that could have made a difference in the world, because walking around with those signs didn't make a difference. It didn't change anything. There was nothing positive came out of that. So,
mm-hmm. Well, they might argue with that and say, well, you know, we've made our point. We've really shown people that we believe, and even though I'm not quite clear on what they believe, and that was a positive thing for their thing. But I agree with you that in the real world, nothing positive came out of it. As a matter of fact, it just cost insurance companies a lot of money to repair all that damage. Try making your point without destroying other people's property and see if you can make it. It's like people who have to use swear words in order to make their point. It doesn't make your point. It just shows me that you don't know how to make your point, because you have to dip into swear language in order to hope that really sways the other person listening to you. And it doesn't. Learn to make your point. learn to express your public dissatisfaction with the policy or whatever without destroying people's property. Otherwise, be ready to be labeled an idiot, because that's how idiots act, whatever your point is. Okay, well, shall we move on from there?
Let's do it.
Let's move over to gold. There's not a lot more to add to gold today, but I do want to mention that we did today, I don't know the exact percentage yet, but we are getting out of some of the gold position. We're probably going to take perhaps 10% off. I'll let you know what that is. And we'll show our next statement when we have it available, because gold's had a very good rally, and we sat through quite a bit on the downside. This is a much longer-term position. We've been in for 2.5 years. And so I think with this rally at this particular point, there's some important levels that have been reached here. Obviously a very big force is at work to lift gold up, and this is all part of the monetary policy as well. When you do what we just did with the printing, the 85 or 45, whatever billion a month that they're going to try to stimulate the economy with, that has impact across the board. That can really affect everything. And I think that's part of what preceded or helped gold take off here. If you're thinking about it in news terms, news.
See right there, what you just said, David, that right there is part of the problem. And I'm not picking on you in any way.
No.
What you said was, the 45 or the 85 billion dollars.
Well, I first heard it was 85, and then somebody said it was, or I heard somewhere that was 45, and I'm not sure which one it is now.
85, someone in the audience, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's $85
billion
total. $45 billion of it is committed to buying mortgage-backed securities.
Got it. Okay, so I just misunderstood that, and that's per month.
Yeah, that's per month. See, and that's how out of and we have a new term for, we kept saying, will they call it QE3? What will it be called? I coined it this morning, QEI, because it's infinity. They've now said they won't take their foot off the gas until the problem is fixed. So there is no end date in sight. There is no, we're going to stop on this day. we're going to go. So QEI, that's the new. We had QE1, QE2, now QEI, infinity.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and so here you go. Well, $45 billion, $85 billion. Guys, you need to Google. And because we lose touch with how much a billion really is. I mean, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Literally more than you can comprehend. It's that much. You can go look at – I put it on the in fact, if you Google how much is a billion CFRN,
it's 1,000 million,
or
right?
How much is a trillion CFRN, it'll take you to some very interesting little diagrams that I posted, which give you like these huge pallets of money next to a little guy standing there. And while you're talking about gold, David, I'll see if I can find one of those images.
Yeah, because those are some of the cutest things you've ever done. You might have
really
been cute as a child. But,
I was, man. I looked just like the Gerber baby. I'll show you a picture sometime.
Yeah, post it.
And then when I'm about, four, I'm wearing a hat, I look very sporty, and I'm talking on the telephone. Which, as you know, the latter part of my life, the fact that they snapped that photo. This is one of those old Bell telephone, boy, was that a prophetic picture. Oh, my goodness.
It probably was.
Yeah, because I spent a lot of time on the phone over the last few years.
I spent a few hours on the phone myself. All right, so with regard to gold, then, we've had a good run-up. The fact that we're taking some positions off, if it's meaningful, you might want to consider if anybody had been in this or if anybody's holding. We're not talking about taking the whole shooting match off. We want to be around. We're trying to trade this like a longer-term trend. But there are critical moments where I think it's important to book gains, and that's where we are right now in gold. So that means that we believe that there's a real possibility for a reversal and at least some reaction on the downside. So keep that in mind. I'm letting you know because that's what we've talked about in the past, and gold did. We had talked many months back when gold had put in a reflected wave monthly bottom, And for people who come to our course, you learn that any retest of a reflected wave bottom is equally as important as the reflected wave bottom itself. And if you look at a monthly chart, you'll see how beautifully that played out in this case. It wasn't easy to hold, even though it looks like it was after the fact, but you have to be really careful in understanding that it isn't as easy as it looks after the fact. It really isn't. You know, we suffered quite a bit through this with just emotionally, just holding on and hanging on, and just the wear and tear of having the position takes it out of you over time. And yet to look at it now, it's like, wow, yeah, they went down and tested. Look how nicely they popped up, just like it's supposed to. Well, yes and no. Yes, it did do what it's supposed to do, and we did have a very, very nice reaction off of it, but to live through it with positions is very different than simply looking at it now after the fact. And this is how people get themselves in trouble, the difference between the reality of being in the market and the after-the-fact view of the market. So just keep that in mind. And then we'll move on from gold, unless you have anything you want to add to gold, Dwayne.
Hang on one second.
Or if you do want to show a picture of you on a telephone at a very young age or with a sporty hat on.
Let's see if this is the...
We could make a day out of that, Dwayne. We could both bring our child pictures in, and I'm sure people would just love to see them.
Okay,
sure,
guys,
they can't wait.
You ready? What does $1 trillion look like? All this talk about... I posted this back in... This was from March 26, 2009. Now, I Googled, what does $1 trillion look like, CFRN, and... brought me to this page. We'll start with a $100 bill. Most of us are familiar with that, even if we've only seen it in passing. A packet of $100 bills is less than a half inch thick and contains $10,000. Fits in your pocket easily and is more than enough for a week or two of shamefully decadent fun. Okay? 10 grand right there. $100, 10 grand. Believe it or not, this little pile is $1 million, 100 packets of $10,000. You could stuff that into a grocery bag and walk around with it. Blow it up a little bit. There we go. Moving on down. While a measly $1 million looked a little unimpressive, $100 million is a little more respectable. It fits neatly on a standard pallet. Okay. And $1 billion...
That's how I like to keep my money, just on a pallet.
Yeah, on a pallet. And $1 billion, now we're really getting somewhere. One, two, three, four, five. So it took 10 pallets. Took 10 of these pallets to go from 1 million. Or no, this is 100 million. This is a billion. Now we'll look at $1 trillion. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you $1 trillion. Here's the little guy. Okay. Here's the guy. Here's a billion. Okay. Here's the guy. Here's a billion. Here's a trillion, and here's the little guy right here. Can you guys see that? So the next time you hear someone toss around the phrase $1 trillion, that's what they're talking about. Is that crazy?
That is, it's a thousand of those billion, and it just is an insane amount of money. And we're going to be doing about a trillion a year in this stimulus until things get better. And we have talked on the radio program, and I appreciate the listeners' input about, you know, how that actually helps. I'm not 100% clear on it. I'm not sure that many people are, but I get the very, very basic idea that, you know, the money is passed around in some way, shape, or form to banks and other places, and it slowly works its way into the system. It still doesn't quite make the sense that I'd want it to make, but I realize that there's more money to be loaned, so that's potentially good, but I thought we already had a lot of money to be loaned, and the banks potentially weren't loaning that out as much or as quickly as they should or could be, etc. And, you know, I would also say that I wanted, not really in defense of banks, but we've been through a lot in the last, 3 years. Banks had made a lot of really bad loans based on a lot of really bad Fed policy and their own agreement with it. Some banks did not agree to go along with that policy. Wells Fargo, as an example, is a bank that did not believe in the policy and just decided we're not going to make loans to people who can't afford to pay them. Now, they did make looser loans than they might have normally, but they certainly didn't go full hog on it. And that's why Wells Fargo is in such great shape as a bank, because they didn't have the kind of portfolio crash that many of the other banks did. Having said all that, since the banks have been through a lot, they're quite understandably, to some extent, a little skittish about making loans and having more losses. So I would not be surprised to see human nature being a part of that skittishness, that worrisome feeling that, wow, you know, we're just not going to, we really want to make sure this guy can pay this money back. You know, Dwayne was talking last week about you better be able to pay it back. Well, they're going to, yeah, they may only loan it to people who can actually pay it back. And that's what they're trying to do on some level. So,
now, even though they didn't get involved in the loose lending to the degree that the other banks did, they still received, I think it was $35 billion mm-hmm. in bailout money. But if I'm not mistaken, they took their bailout money in connection with the acquisition of Wachovia, which was mm-hmm. going under. So, yeah, even though in theory they didn't need it. I mean, why not? Somebody comes along and says, would you like $35 billion? I mean, you're looking pretty good, but... You know, if you want to hold on to it for a while, you can. Sure. I mean, the just depositing that at night, the interest on that is staggering. Good
yeah.
Lord. You don't have to do anything. No. You don't ever have to take it out of the little wrapper that it came in.
Right, exactly. My last conversation with Wachovia, because I did have some account with them, and I needed something faxed to me, and the woman had answered the phone, and she said, I'm sorry, we'll fax that to you, but I can't do it right now. And I said, can't you just walk over you to the fax machine? Little humor there. Walk over you to the... She didn't get it either.
Oh,
all right,
Lord.
We'll move on.
We got it. We got it, Dave.
Okay. The U.S. Treasury bond market has had a pretty good little decline over the last many, many weeks. And starting from the all-time high, they're not down terribly. But this is one of the markets that the Fed is in... hinting, if not outright saying, that they're going to support this market. And it had a pretty good decline coming into the Fed announcement for QE3. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Fed is able to do, because this is the market that should respond and keep interest rates low. Remember, low is a relative term. Interest rates at one point were 13% way back. And so what is low? What do they mean by low? And, you know, all that. I still like the idea, like I've been telling people, to finance, refinance, do whatever you're going to do, get that out of the way, so that if the interest rates start going back up, you're not in a position of having to pay unnecessarily higher interest rates on whatever it is that you want to get.
Are we still in September, or have we moved to December?
I think we're in December from what Bert has said.
Okay.
So they're starting to firm up today. I don't have any specific trade recommendation or anything on that, but I do want to say that... The Fed action, the QE3, all of that should play into, from what they have said, that should play into the bond market staying strong, therefore interest rates remaining low. How low, I'm not willing to say, but we are already decently off of the low that we recently made, the 50-year low we just made in interest rates. So don't wait around too long, because I really believe this, as I've been saying for quite some time, that in the longer term wave, this is a blue moon. What we have is very, very low housing prices, which have already started to rebound. As you may remember, some of the longer term, back in January of this year and February of this year, I was saying that the lows that the real estate market made in November of last year, that we would not see those lows for 50 years. That was my forecast. I'm not a real estate person in terms of forecasting the market, et cetera, but I believe for a number of reasons, sort of extrapolating what I've seen in the market and sort of internalizing that and putting my own work on that market, I really believe that we will not see the lows of last year's 2011 And so I, you know, and I myself took some advantage of that. The forecast wasn't just a forecast for me. I really sincerely believe that we're not going to see those lows. And so if that's helpful to people, I hope it is. Housing prices have definitely rebounded across the country in the last year and or the last eight months, 10 months, and especially so here in Las Vegas. We definitely have had a bit of a rally here, and that helps, of course. But you have to remember now that the blue moon that we're talking about, very low interest rates and very low housing prices, the thing, the wheels are already in motion changing that blue moon. The blue is not so on. You know, the blue is off a little bit because interest rates have gone up just a little bit, and not a lot, but the housing market now has started to move up. So you have to take advantage of this. You still have plenty of time probably, but I wouldn't wait around too long. If you can undo what you're in and get out, and even if you know you have to talk to your own financial advisor and all that stuff, you potentially could be purchasing a newer home or a new home for very low price historically and very low interest rates historically. And I think Dwayne, even Dwayne Reeves would agree with me because he's not a fan of the 30-year, from what he has said, mortgage and et cetera, that at the interest rates at where they are, how bad of a deal can it be? You know, the total interest rate's 3.5%, 3.6%, right?
That is correct. And
yeah,
so,
I mean, how much of a screwy deal can it be when it's the interest rate's that low?
Yeah, all you got to do is find somebody that's willing to loan you the money.
Yeah. Well, and loan month, you know, Dwayne, loans are going out. People are buying homes. I mean, every one of the houses here in Las Vegas, other than straight investor cash type of deals, which are a small percentage of them, they're all being financed by banks.
I don't make this stuff up. I mean, it's all over the headlines about the about how the whole QE infinity thing is ridiculous because the logjam is in the banks. The banks aren't loaning the money. Yeah, they're making some loans. I mean, they have to have some excuse to come to work every day other than to make the coffee and talk about last night's episode of The Office or something. But there is a huge logjam there in the banks. And it's just, I mean, not only do I personally know people who have experienced it, but you know, all of the big financial writers out there at places like Forbes and Wall Street Journal, they're all writing about it and editorializing it. And the government so far is not forcing the bank's hand. And until that happens, our economy is not going to turn around. It doesn't matter how much quantitative easing there is until that money is put into the hands of people who will use it responsibly. I'm not talking about bag boys buying $500,000 homes. That was ridiculous.
Right.
I'm talking about the money being put in the hands of people who will use it in a responsible, creative manner that in turn creates jobs. That will stimulate the economy. Then everybody can be a big shot and drive around in a Chevy Volt.
Well, I mean, I don't know about everybody. Come on now.
Well, no. At least some of us.
Chevy Volts are very cheap. You can pick one up pretty cheap now on the lease like we talked about. All right, so let's move over to the Facebook. This is a market that had a really, I think anybody would agree, a remarkable rally off of a bottom that on a day on September 4th, one of our listeners asked about that, and I still to this day don't know if they really meant that they thought it was going to be a bottom, but it turned out to be a very important bottom in the markets, certainly the most important bottom since the opening of this stock, which was back on July 27th. So,
Patrick wants to know, he says that you mentioned on the 30-year bond that there would be a bottom on September the 10th. Is that still...
let me go back to that. We had, I think we've talked about this, and let me go over it again. This was, I'm sorry, because we are, what's today's date?
Today is the 17th.
Stay with me. I need to find
where. Well, obviously
where,
the 10th wasn't at the bottom. Well, it was
okay, this
for a moment. No?
Hold on here. Okay, here's what it was. Yeah, this is, we've spoken about this already. The bottom was due on September 10th. They had a very small bounce, and they broke out. And we said on the day of September 12th that any breakout below the low that they made on September 7th, the actual bottom came on September 7th. This is what's called a reflected wave breakout, that substantially lower bond prices would be indicated. And we even talked later into September 17th. So this decline, now today is September 17th, and we've made a slightly lower low in the bond market today. I would have preferred on the September 17th date that we've also mentioned on the program that the market was really all they needed to do for us was touch 147.04. They've very significantly exceeded that, but I did mention that the breakout on September 12th would lead to substantially lower bond prices, the future prices of bond, because it's a reflected wave breakout. So all we got was a two-day bounce, and then they broke out on the downside. So September 17th is the next important date. That's today. They already did the natural price for today, which is 147.04. We mentioned this on the radio program. They did it on Friday, on September 14th. And so there's no need for them to touch that price, but the fact of the date itself is important, the September 17th. So this is the next important period. So that's a reflected wave breakout. If anybody wants to, you take a look at the September 7th low, couple-day bounce, and then they suddenly closed below that low. That's not normal behavior, and it means trade in that direction. And around that time, we were on the radio, and all these things are recorded. So if you want to go back, you can listen, stating that substantially lower prices would be indicated by this breakout.
Does that answer your question, Patrick?
I hope it does. If it doesn't, he can continue. I was just going to mention that you could make there's a lot of things you can make a career out of in trading the markets. One of them is reflected wave breakouts. You can make a career out of reflected wave breakouts because they indicate, you know, powerful directional moves in many, many cases. And like anything else, you know, you have to trade it properly, use risk management, et cetera, to get the benefits out of it. And like we've said so many times, after the fact, it looks very easy. But in actual trading, it's often not as easy as it looks. So just keep that in mind.
Patrick said, yes, that answers his question. Edward, on the other hand, says, please explain, are you looking for a bounce now, or are you looking for them to break even lower?
I'm looking for a bounce now because of September 17th. Deal. I would normally expect. Now, I'm not trading this, and I'm not offering this specifically myself. This is, you know, the first time we've really gotten some questions about the Treasury bonds.
Right.
Most of the time, people are very quiet about them. But I believe that the September 17th would normally be the next important bottom for this market. Having broken out from the daily reflected wave low on the September 7th/10th, the on-time day was the 10th. It came one day early. The breakout from that would normally run us into September 17th. The natural price for September 17th has already been touched on Friday. That was the 147.04 level. And in spite of the fact that it's already been touched, I would expect at least a multi-day bounce off of this bottom here. I don't have an actual trade to give you off that, but that would be my general outlook for the market. So it's good. We rarely get questions about the U.S. Treasury bond market, but they have had a big move. So we'll watch this and see over the next several days how they do it. Let's see. We've talked about the crude oil market. I know there's a lot of Middle East uncertainty with crude, et cetera. A lot of that is probably priced in. Michael was talking today about, you know, the crude getting over $100. My preference, as I've mentioned, for any next trading setup, I would really prefer to see the 103 area in crude or a little higher to really set up a nice trade. But I am calling for a September top in the crude market. So the top that we're kind of talking about is a pretty important one. It's not a just a short-term deal. It would be a multi-month reaction off that high. And my preference would be for them to get up to 103 area before then. That's not a forecast for them to do that, but that would be my preference. Now, if they don't do that, then I would still probably be willing to trade this market on the short side, but I would probably wait for more confirmation and therefore have less potential gain, because you know everything that I wanted to make me comfortable wasn't there, and yet there still is an important reversal due, so I would still be interested potentially in trading it. I would just make less potentially on the trade, which I'm happy to do if they give me the kind of entry. You know, that's the next step, is get to the, you know, is there an entry there for you that you can live with? There are situations where the market will just, it's just good just to get in the market and don't try to get cute with it. Very similar to like what we talked about with Tesla, you know, for the week, last week, we forecast a bottom in that. We'll get to that in a minute. But sometimes it's just, you just have to buy it. You just say, look, at, you know, it's done. They're already, the move's underway. It's going. Then other times you have to say, you know what, everything I like to see isn't here, and I really want to wait for a really good entry, and you either sometimes get it and sometimes you don't. But as long as you just – I'm sorry, Dwayne, were you going to say something?
Well, Tim has a question. Can you trade the – Tim, I'm trying to read that. It looks like OIH. I'm not familiar with that symbol. Tim says, can you trade the OIH for this situation if you don't want to trade the CL futures? And, Bert, maybe if you're there, you can answer that question.
For oil services.
Oh, so he's asking about trading sort of a proxy market for oil.
Yeah, trading the ETF, I guess.
Well, Bert, I'd have to rely on you on that. Is the ETF moving in concert with the oil market?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, it's not one, you know, doesn't have a high beta, or let me put it this way. It doesn't have, it's not one for one, but it's, it'd be sensitive to it.
Yeah, so it you could, and you could probably make some money if you have the kind of ability to short an ETF. There's special funds for doing that, and then there's other things you can do. You could sell options as well. That would be something for you to consider. But I would like to wait a little longer on the September top that we're talking about. There's nothing really big has happened yet in crude to change the current. In fact, I would be buying pullbacks still until further notice here. You know, and then we'll see as we get a little closer to the end of September. A lot of forces, a lot of things are at work here. But that's what we're forecasting for this market, and so keep an eye on that. We'll talk about this as it gets a little bit further in time.
Bert, there was a question for you from Skip regarding options and bonds.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to get an idea of what, you know, based on information David had just discussed regarding the bonds, what might one do with options in regards to that, and what would it cost them?
David, you were looking, what, for a multi-day bounce?
Well, yeah, this is a small thing. This isn't a really big thing here. This is just a bounce off of the September 17th bottom in the breakout that they had off of the September 7th low. That would normally have run to a certain price. It did, but and it even went further, and but the timing, the date is still the same. We're still looking for September 17th to mark the next short-term bottom. I don't have a lot of other information to give on bonds just now, but I do want people to continue to consider utilizing the current low interest rates, or maybe wait a little bit here and see if the interest rates can bounce. You know, in other words, they've gone up a little bit as the bond market's gone down. Wait a little bit and let them bounce back, come back down before doing it, because I think that's likely going to happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't think I would attack it today, right here, right now. I would look for a pullback against 145.01 as a pullback level to get long if you're interested in this forecast.
And again, it's really just, I just want to clarify something, Bert. It's really not a trade we're giving out so much as it is just that's September 17th is a date that we'd normally look for some kind of a reversal on the bottom in bonds here. That's all it really is. Go ahead.
Yeah. I would just say look at 145.01, maybe as an entry. That's where I'd probably start chopping some call options. You got a double bottom on the hourly at 144.15. Got underneath that, that would be a likely place to put a stop. I think you're, you know, swimming against the tide a little bit because we have been dropping, so I would be careful and use a stop skip. I think if we got down to 145, you're going to have to buy an option that's fairly at the money. What does that mean to you? You'll probably be shopping November 146 calls, but you're going to pay probably $1,500-$1,600 for those. So I'm not in love with the option trade on this one because it is just on a daily time frame. And we already had a pretty good reaction off that low. So I would be more inclined to buy a pullback and put a stop in. Your risk will be a little bit less than what you're going to put out for the option. So,
that's well, good stuff. Thoughts. Okay. That was good stuff, Bird. That's good stuff. Let's move on over to, let's see, and then we can move over to Tesla. Dwayne, maybe just because of the spectacularness of this move, if you put TSLA up, we can take a quick look at it.
Was it a spectacular day?
Well, they really did. They had a really good pop-up.
Hang on, let me grab a chart here.
Okay. We had been forecasting for Tesla to make a very important bottom on the week of September 10th, and that the bottom should touch $27.99, and that or at or near that level would be buying territory with no daily closes below $27.27 or $27.25, that the market would reverse and make a minimum of a total of four points up on the stock. So that would mean that it would go from $27.29 up to $31.29. And today's low has been 31.51. So we have stayed above that. In other words, they completed that target today with a nice gap up, as you can see there. And that's the whole trade. So somebody had messaged in last week if they could still get in and catch the move, and we said, yes, absolutely, you could just buy it right here. This is the move that we were looking for, just the completion of the $31.29, the 4 points. I like the idea, by the way, if somebody is still in this, and I know some people that are in this, if you were to take the majority of your position off what we had originally talked about, the $31.29, but continue to hold, if you are willing to, aggressive type of position, you know, where you're just saying, okay, I'm going to stay in this for a little bit longer to see what we can get out of it. I would suggest that you give that a shot and understand that there's going to be some reversal here. In other words, the stock is probably going to have a multi-day reaction on the downside. And then if it has more in it, my next target on the upside would be in the $34 range, $34.20, something like that. And so you could hold your remaining aggressive position, understanding that you've gotten the trade. That's the trade's over, $4 move. But there still is some reasonable expectation for a smaller part of your position to be held for further advance for people who are aggressive, people who want to hold on for a little bit longer. And that's everything we've got to say about that.
James says that Morgan Stanley has increased their rating from underweight to overweight on Tesla.
Underweight to overweight. Okay. Yeah. What does that mean?
Well, that underweight means that your portfolio, however you slice up your pie, that you want a smaller slice of pie than normal. Overweight means that you want like a larger than normal slice of pie, like maybe you want two slices of that pie.
Okay. All right, good. Well, I'm glad they feel that way. Did they do that today? Is that part of today's motion?
Did that come out today, James? Or was that last week?
Well, while he's working on that.
Once he types it in, I'll let you know.
Yeah, so really nothing more to add to that, just that it was a nice trade, it's done, and if you're aggressive and want to hold for the $34.25.
Bill says it was this morning.
This morning, okay, yeah. So part of this morning's action, the gap up, they're up $1.76 on the day, which for a $30 stock is a decent move. and somewhat higher prices could continue to come
here.
That's what, because
10%?
Yeah, no, it's a very decent move. 8%? And I wouldn't be surprised if the market continued higher into next week. So one of the things you can do with your remaining position is you can think in terms of continuing to hold. I wouldn't want to see, for me, any daily closes probably below $30 and, you know, maybe 50 cents. I know we're substantially higher. We're at 32.15. But if you're holding for aggressive stuff, you have to realize that, remember, September 17th is a date on bonds. It's very likely going to be a top in this market. Now, I would not short this top because we're coming off of, again, understand, a larger force is at work on the upside. So I would use the knowledge of a top, like a reflected wave top, to let me know there's going to be a reaction and potentially, you know, book gains because of that knowledge. But I would not necessarily short the stock because I like to trade in the direction of the larger move, and I would continue to do so by holding, like we're talking about, some small portion of your remaining position for the potential for higher prices, but several days are likely to go sideways to lower in the stock for now. So just keep that in mind. And then let's see, we did have a setup for, remember last week we talked about the weekly bottom for BIDU as well, the BIDU, somebody had asked about that, and they had a very nice reversal last week with a price on this that we talked about was 107.70, something like that, and they reversed. It went down to 106.60, and then they had a very powerful advance and made a high last week of 116.29. So a real nice, fast reversal right on the same week that we're talking about for Tesla, the week of September 10th. And you can see, so not only is it true on the daily charts, but it's also true on the weeklies as well, when these reversals are due, that, you know, the market has a sort of a rulership that it has where a certain stocks and commodities will turn on the same dates. And so one of the things you can do as homework is to double check other markets, and that's what we do to double and triple confirm the knowledge that we're putting money on this particular stock for an advance, and other stocks have the same date. Now, BIDU has already had its beginning move down today, and so we'll see how that plays out. This is a stock that we don't normally follow, but somebody had asked about it, and so we had made the forecast for the bottom last week, and you can see that that ties in directly with the Tesla. And then let's see, we did have a couple other, one other thing I did want to talk about because it happened today. Let me switch over, and this was a nice little trade, and Bert told me this was worth, the cocoa trade, Bert, we talked about last week, was worth maybe $500 or something, maybe $700. I don't exactly remember what the actual points movement was, and let me get my screen up here to show this. But we had given out a trade last week on the program.
It's pronounced Baidu, by the way. Everybody's
Baidu.
Typing it.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. Baidu. I always go Bidu because I see the word. I have a habit of doing that.
That thing went public back in, as I recall, I think it was like 2006, 2007, and because it was a Chinese.
What do they do?
It's a.
Oh, it's a search engine like Google.
Yeah, it's a
you told
Chinese
me last
search
week.
Engine.
Is this a repeat of last week's show?
Yeah.
But I remember when it first went public, my old friend, the stock whisperer, he was very bullish on this stock. And a lot of folks, it was considered very speculative because, I mean, they barely had internet in China at that time. I mean, that's all, you know, changed very much now. And we can see this is a stock that's trading at, I don't know, what was the price? 130, what are we at? $137? No, $117.
Like that, yeah.
$117 in Baidu. So, I mean, that's a very respectable price for a stock.
And, it's Bidu. It's not Baidu.
Bidu.
Go ahead. I'm just joking.
There you go. Edward wanted us to review the British pound, and then he left. But maybe he's still listening on the radio. So, okay.
All right. Well, that's fine. Let's go over this real quick. We had a forecast for the market for cocoa to break 26.15 down to 26.12, something around that range. I don't remember the exact price. And then you just go short for a decline into September 18th for the price of $25.66, or I'm sorry, Bert, is it $2.56, or how am I? What's
$2.56,
the number?
I believe.
Yeah, just drop the decimals to say
okay.
$25.66.
Okay, that's okay. So basically, from $26.12, $26.10 down to the price of $25.66, and I don't know what the dollar amount of that is, but they did the move. And they were supposed to reach that price by September 18th. They did it one day early today, September 17th. And that trade is done. And that was just a short-term trade. Now, interestingly enough, this will also turn into a buy signal for us as well. It may already be one, but I would wait myself until tomorrow for this, since this is not a market that we track. But tomorrow, September 18th is the next important date for a bottom. That's why we were forecasting the decline down to the 2566 level. So, Bert, you had some trade on that, or did you say you did, or somebody?
I didn't, to be honest with you, but I know, I think Mark did.
Okay, good.
Mark's listening.
Okay, that's good. No, that's wonderful. I'm glad somebody took advantage of it. We do want to, you know, again, this would be something that if they closed today above 25, say 50, then that would be a further indication for the potential for the bottom into September 18th. It's possible they've done it one day early on the 17th. And again, there's that date, the 17th again. And this is a market that ran into it. So you can see how these trades get put together with moves running into and out of these dates. Well, we'll talk about this tomorrow as a potential buy signal for the cocoa now that they've done the move down. We're not big followers of cocoa, but the market is there, and we have made a few calls on it in the past. Natural gas, we don't have anything new on. We had originally called for a weekly bottom on the week of August 27th, and they had a very powerful advance off that, which worked out nicely. And we will probably have our next important trade on the week of September 24th for this market, or on one of the days inside that week. So we have quite a bit that's possible on natural gas. Okay, let's see. Was there anything else that we've talked about? I don't think so, Duane. Let me take a quick look.
Anything on soybeans?
I'll let you know in just a moment. Just zipping through some of these other still natural gas. We have quite a bit that we're following on natural gas, but let's take a look at soybeans real quick. Wow, soybeans had a very nice move down. I know you had something on your tweet
they went limit down today.
Yeah, they're down limit down. This is a market that's had a very, very long and extended advance up, and they've taken, just today alone, they've taken a nice chunk of that back. They have not reversed the bigger trend yet. We have been forecasting on the last few times that we talked about this and some of the other grain markets, the last quarter of this year is the on-time quarter for a top. One way that you can judge this market as having put that top in early, and therefore you could sell options or therefore you could short it, would be if the market were to close the third quarter, which we're in now, below $16.60. So if we close, but we're trading at $16.69, So it's very interesting that they're pulling back to these levels because in reflected wave, this is the one unit early. And so because it is, that means that we think that one thing you could do with it if you wanted to be somewhat aggressive is to take the turning point one unit early and have the market confirm by closing below that 1660. Now, if that happens, I would be likely to be on the program saying that we're going to be interested in selling rallies for like a whole year. So consider that. I mean, it would be a very important top.
Duane.
Yes, sir.
Let's take a look at crude oil. Crude oil just broke about $4.
Okay. Let me... GCOV. Was there any news that it's
I'm looking over the wire now. I don't see anything yet.
Holy smokes. Look at that.
Yeah.
Now that's a move lower.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. I mean, you know, we're all sitting here thinking about, well, with this thing, you know, happening over in the street, prices could spike higher, but that's definitely not a higher spike.
No, that isn't. And that's a good, it hasn't broken any trend yet, but just as we're saying, we're looking for September to mark a top. My preference would be to see some higher prices to trade it, but if they don't, there's going to be a multi-month reversal here. So let's see what they, you know, this is a good little early sign of volatility,
right,
et cetera.
This is a daily chart, so got a low down here at 95, got a high up here at 99.52.
Yeah, nice big intraday swing there. So that's good stuff. And I think that, Dwayne, for us, that's everything we have for today. The S&P, again, is just slowly creeping just a little bit lower here. Not a whole lot to do with the S&P today, unless you got some real patience.
Patrick said gold is dropping as well.
Yeah, we are expecting, as I've mentioned, we are expecting a reversal. I mean, obviously, we wouldn't be getting out of some of our positions if we didn't expect the potential for the reversal here, as we talked, in gold. So the market, if it does pull back some and give us a nice little reversal, that's nice. This normally, without taking anything else into account, this would be an important week for gold short-term on the high side. So we'll see. Nothing really big yet in gold. They haven't broken their big uptrend at all, but they're starting to move down, as Patrick had indicated. So we'll wait and see.
If you put this in perspective of, you know, the bigger move, it's just...
Yeah, it's nothing.
I mean, it was quick, and it's interesting that they both suddenly dropped at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But Bert, you still don't see anything on the wire? I don't see anything
on
my screens that... okay. All right. So, Dave, you're saying that's it?
I think for us, that's everything we've got. We've had some nice moves in some of these markets. Keep an eye on some of these stocks, and we'll talk more. There'll be some other... I believe we'll have some other indications in both some of these in the stock and some of these other markets. I am keeping my eye also on Yahoo and some of the markets that Baidu that people are watching. It's a search engine like Google, for those of you that don't know. And we'll keep an eye on it until tomorrow. Let you know.
All right, sounds good, Dave.
Okay, thanks, and Bert, nice to have you on the program from time to time.
Yeah, no spot.
Yeah, I mean, Bert, we miss you, man.
It's almost like, having somebody from the Gilligan's Island crew come back, you know, out of the blue, like the skipper or something.
Yeah, the skipper.
You know, the skipper comes back, you know, and hey, we haven't seen you in a long time. So, nice to have you on. Thanks for the questions, everyone, and I'll plan on seeing everyone tomorrow here on the program. Thanks for having me on, Dwayne.
Dave, have a great afternoon.
Thank you. You too. See ya. Bye-bye.
What time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you. Every day's a new day in love with you. With each day.
Well, that's going to do it for us two guys. Tim, I see a question. Last week, you called for the next high of 1515 on the SPX. That would have been David, I suppose, that called for that. And your question is he using the S&P cash or the December contract? He's quoting, the price he's quoting is on the December contract, the E-mini, not the cash price. Now, what we did say over the weekend on the blog is that on Friday, okay, we have a price channel, a daily price channel, going back to June. There's one, two, three, I guess I really could have counted that as four, five, six times that we've, you know, this is on a daily, okay? Okay, daily chart. There's Thursday. There's Friday. Got that little wick up above the top of the channel. So far today, painting a red candle. Okay. If this breakout fails, and 80% of breakouts do fail, this one fail, that one fail, that one fail, that one fail, that one fail. Okay. Has this one failed yet? Well, we don't know. Take some time to, we'll have to wait and see. For now, if this closes lower on the day, then that gives us some idea. If we do get a bearish close today, especially if we get a close lower than Friday's low, what is Friday's low? 1449.50. We had a tweet last night that never got triggered on the S&P because it's just been so range-bound. But if we were to close today lower than Friday's low, that would indeed be bearish. We would expect to at least go back to the middle of the channel. Whether or not we're going to go back to the bottom remains to be seen. If we break out of the top, if we break out and hold the top of the channel on a pullback, then the potential is for us to move as high as 1540. Okay? That's based on the width of the channel. So, Bert was talking about that on the show last week. So that's just something to keep in mind. If you're trading intraday, it's good to have that information. If you're position trading, swing trading, then that type of information is absolutely critical. So that's going to do it for us. We got everything squared away with iTunes. We've been streaming seamlessly there for years, but we had a hiccup with two episodes last week. You can still get those episodes from the blog, but Friday's episode is back on iTunes, and actually Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, they're all streaming just fine from iTunes. If you don't know how to do the iTunes thing, at the bottom of every blog post, you can follow us on Google+, Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook, blog, iTunes. I'm going to, in the chat room, I'm going to put out to everyone the iTunes address. Okay. That will enable you to subscribe to the podcast. Even if you don't have an iPhone or an iPad, maybe you have an Android device, or maybe you just have an MP3 player. You can still subscribe. You can still use iTunes on your computer, even without an iPhone or any other device. iTunes is free. You can install that on your computer and use it to manage all of your digital files as far as music, any type of audio, podcast, and you can download it for free. Just go to iTunes.com. But by subscribing to the podcast, what happens is each time we put out a new episode, it just downloads it. And if you do have an iPhone or an iPad or an iPod or a Touch, every time you sync up, it will bring in the most recent episodes for you. And so when you're out and about at the mall, on the train, wherever you find yourself, you just put in your earbuds and you can listen to the last episode if you did not catch it live. Also, we talked earlier in the show about installing the toolbar. And on the right-hand side of the page, of every page on CFRN, right here, download the toolbar. Okay, our toolbar is built in conjunction with Amazon. You don't have to worry about adware, badware, spamware, malware, angryware, nastyware, uglyware. It's goodware, okay? And it's safeware. Now, your antivirus software will warn you about installing suchware, as it should. That's its job. It's to say, hey, are you sure you trust these people? You have my word and the word of Jeff Bezos over at Amazon that it is absolutely 100% safe, okay? And once you get that installed, not only are you able to listen to CFRN 24/7, but you follow the blog, the Facebook, the Twitter, get your Gmail, and all the good stuff I showed you here. Read the newspaper, follow us on Google Plus, Seeking Alpha, listen to the Daily Audio Bible, which is, that right there makes it worth it. The fact that you get a little Old Testament, a little New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, and some commentary, and then some people calling in at the very end, leaving a voicemail with some praise reports and some prayer requests. If you spend a week listening to the Daily Audio Bible, I can almost guarantee you it will become a part of your daily routine. It will become 30 minutes of your life that you really look forward to. This fellow, Brian, who does the reading and does the commentary at the end, he's quite an interesting character. He's able to say all of those Old Testament names, the ones that you and I stumble over, he just breezes right through them. And it's a community, a worldwide community. You can go to their website, dailyaudiobible.com. You can listen from there. You can download their app. If you download our app for the iPhone, not only will you have our podcast on your phone at all times, but you'll also have the Daily Audio Bible on your phone by simply downloading our iPhone app. Okay? Just click right there. Got a smartphone? There you go. And you have to point your smartphone browser to this webpage, cfrn.net/app. Not your desktop browser, your smartphone browser. Okay? Got to point that to this page so that you can follow the directions, download the app. Also, on the newspaper, you can actually subscribe so that when you are away from your browser, maybe you're out and about and you want to read the newspaper, I'll put that link in as well. Let's see if that's going to work. Yep. By following that link, you can subscribe to the newspaper. We used to only do an afternoon edition. We're now doing a morning and an evening edition. We're revamping and changing some of the content, but there's a lot of interesting stuff. I think you'll really enjoy it. It's absolutely free. Doesn't cost you a dime. It's just our way of serving you, and that's what we're all about. And with that, I'm going to wrap it up for today. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.